Hi, welcome to the first ever Vita Player podcast. I'm Simon Plum.
I'm Sven Harvey. And this is, in fact, our pilot show, so do forgive any ums and general fluffing of things.
This is already the second take, so get you plenty of that already. Okay, in this show, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff we're playing at the moment, games-wise. We've actually got a few questions that have come in already from some listener feedback, even though no one's actually been listening to this, apart from our already sort of cock-ups that we've made. And the main focus, but the main focus of today's one is going to be PlayStation TV.
PlayStation Vita TV! Sorry, I don't have a bug in my bee in my bonnet about that at all, honest.
Yeah, the micro console that no one's ever heard of or seen.
But firstly, let's have a look at what has been going on PlayStation Plus this month. So PlayStation Plus for March, we've had Oli 2 and Counter Spy, which are both suspiciously on the PlayStation 4 as well, which does make me a little concerned. But it has been several months now since we've had what we would term a commercial retail release being given away. What are your feelings on this?
Well, this is something that I know bothers you and quite a lot of other people in the PlayStation community who continue sort of calling out for so-called AAA games to be given away with PlayStation Plus. Personally, it's not something that bothers me at all. I mean, I'm quite happy to, obviously, I mean, PlayStation Plus, we're talking £40 a year, and over the course of that year, we're getting 24 games at least, sometimes more for the cross-buy titles.
Yeah, quite.
But for me, as long as they're good games, whether it's a AAA title published by Sony or Activision, I won't mention EA because we know it'd be another FIFA game, but as long as it's a good game, who cares whether it's AAA or an indie?
Well, yes, I can understand that.
I mean, we've had titles like Velocity 2X, TXK, some of my all-time favourite games I would class as indie. But at the end of the day, if it's a good game and you're going to enjoy playing it and get a lot of entertainment out of it, does it really matter who the publisher is or what type of game it is?
Quite, there is that. I mean, to be honest with you, there's certain titles where I question whether they should have been commercial releases on a Vita card anyway. An example would be the Super Stardust release on the Vita. Should have probably been released as a card, in my opinion.
Well, actually, I mean, you say Super Stardust. Going back to the very original release of that on the Amiga, that was a full price commercial release.
Exactly, quite. And I would have liked to have had it on disc on the PS3. I would have liked to have Vita card on the Vita. I would have liked to have it on disc on PSP. And now it's out on the PS4 as well. It's still digital only. So it's just like, well, I can understand why it's digital only. But it is a full-blown release as far as I'm concerned. Though, if Super Stardust Ultra for the PS4 doesn't turn up being a PlayStation Plus game at some point, I will eat my hat.
Well, I mean, Resogun, I mean, that was a PlayStation Plus title.
Yes.
And, you know, there's no fault in the quality of that as a game.
Oh, God, no, absolutely not. But again, it's the same people, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's understandable. And, of course, with Resogun being PlayStation Plus on PS4, meant that I claimed it on PlayStation 4, which meant I got it on the Vita when it came out. So it was like, that'll do nicely. Thank you very much for cross-buy.
Exactly. and the great thing with that one is, well, it's one of those few titles that's highlighted a little mistake that Sony have, well, not as a mistake, but a little flaw with the PlayStation Plus system.
Yeah.
And cross-buy. For those titles that are PlayStation Plus on one format but not on the others, it unlocks the full version of the game on the other formats.
Yeah.
So the PS3 and the Vita version of Resogun, even though it's cross-buy, if your PlayStation Plus membership expires, you've still got Resogun for the PS3 and the Vita unlocked.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it's...
I mean, this is the thing. So I've never let my PlayStation Plus subscription lapse, and I've had it since it started because I had an intro subscription for, I think, 3 months when I was working for a retailer. And I've never let it lapse because I've got so much stuff that's locked to it.
Yeah.
That half my game collection would disappear, which would be ridiculous. But I mean, as for this month, I mean, Oli Oli 2, fair enough, the first game was really quite popular. It's not something I'm particularly interested in, to be brutally honest. And Counter Spy, I wasn't expecting much of that, but it's very flashbacky, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of some of the old 16-bit games.
Yeah.
I've played it for a little while, so it's quite a fun game. It's both of them to combine this month. Not an overly exciting month, but and I haven't actually even looked at the PS3 titles yet.
Yeah.
I haven't got a PS4 yet, so there's nothing that really grabs my attention there at the moment. Yeah. But again, you know, PlayStation Plus, I tend to think of the year overall.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, it's just an amazing selection throughout the year, and you know, people, as I said, people dismiss all of the indie titles, but
yeah,
you know, I've been more than happy every year with PlayStation Plus so far.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, I've not run into any issues with it so far myself. So you know, whatever, it's all quite decent set of software generally. When you look at the years in total, it's just it seems to glut. It's a case of, you seem to find yourself some months, you look across all three formats, and you've got a wonderful array of very high quality and commercial stuff. I mean, December was particularly interesting when you got the first AAA, he says in quotation marks, game on the PlayStation 4. It's just everything had come up to meet that level across all the formats. And then other months like this month, it seems to be quite muted across the format. So perhaps they might need to look a little bit more closely at the balance throughout the year. But we do, as I'm sure you're aware, they had problems this month, clearly, because they didn't announce it until the morning that it was released, what was going to be on PlayStation Plus. And we normally know a week in advance, and apparently they hadn't signed things completely yet. So it's just like, yeah, something's got wrong there.
I think ultimately with PlayStation Plus, though, I think Sony are in an awkward position because they can never please everybody all the time.
Oh, exactly.
And there will always be people complaining about, well, why don't you have this game? Why don't you have that game? Yeah. And games are always going to appeal to different people.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to like Oli Oli. Not everyone's going to like Counter Spy. Some people will be screaming for more AAA games. And
yeah. I mean, the one thing I'd bring up with the AAA stuff is they can't keep releasing a AAA game every week or even every month or every other month, simply because we're going to run out of AAA games because there aren't that many being released now for the Vita, which is a complete fallacy. It's really not on, but
well,
you know,
I'd disagree with you on that point in terms of the lack of AAA games being released. I just look at what's on my shelf in front of me right now, and on that point, but that's probably a topic for another discussion another time.
But when you look at the pre-order lists on retailers' websites for the stuff that's coming out, it's basically JRPG, 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 and a one or two things if you're lucky that's other than.
I could live with that.
Glad you can. I'm not hugely into JRPGs. So, yeah, I know what you mean. So, leading on from that, what are you playing right now?
Oh, some weird stuff. I've just finished talking to JRPGs. How about that for a link? I've just completed Tales of Hearts R.
Okay.
After putting about 80-odd hours into that. Absolutely breathtaking JRPG. Really quirky at times, some very sort of odd humour in it in places, lots of little innuendos here, there and everywhere, but it's really fun, very funny at times, great combat system, very action oriented rather than a sort of turn based, which you get in Final Fantasy. Looks gorgeous on the PlayStation TV, and makes good use of the DualShock 4. Feels much better to play on the TV than it does on the Vita, but to be honest. But I've sunk so many hours into that. still hadn't completed every little thing and didn't find everything, but it was one of those games that I was quite happy just wandering around for hours,
yeah,
just getting into random battles, because the actual battles themselves were just fun to play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's unlocked a few extra bits for me to replay it again, but I don't quite feel up to sort of going through for another 80-odd hour session.
Fair enough.
Been spending a bit of time on Lego Batman 3 as well.
Okay.
And they've done quite a decent job on the Vita version. It's back to the 3D, sort of, the full 3D format.
Right, so it's a port from the PS3, I'm guessing.
Not fully. It hasn't got access to the DLC.
Okay.
So the extra levels and packs aren't there, but it's still quite a good game.
Cool.
Despite one or two little bugs I found in it, I've actually managed to get...
Okay.
There's one level I managed to take the Martian Manhunter and flew him out of the game's landscape. Which was a...
Oops.
Yeah, but it has a support of the game. It's still quite a fun one to play.
Yeah.
And then my guilty pleasure is Fat Princess Piece of Cake.
Okay.
Yes, it's free to play. It's a match 3 game. But it's so damn addictive. I just can't put my finger on why, but I just love playing it.
Okay, I don't think I've played that yet. It's basically a match 3, like
it's a match 3, but it's got a combat element to it as well.
Okay,
but it's just damn fun.
Okay,
the only downside with it is that the Android and iOS version, and for some reason the American version of it,
yeah,
once you complete the 15th level, it unlocks a free copy of Fat Princess on the PS3.
Oh, okay.
In Europe, it doesn't.
Oh.
You just get a bonus boost of some of its in-game currency.
Hey.
And that's the one part I don't like, the fact that we've basically been shafted in Europe.
Yeah. That's inappropriate.
So, but yeah. apart from that, I mean, I absolutely love playing it.
Cool.
And to the point that I feel I have to play it every day to sort of get some of the daily sort of coin bonuses and everything else. So that's one of the things, apart from Tales of Hearts, I've been playing that more than anything else, I think.
Fair enough. How much is that retailing at?
Fat Princess is free.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the free-to-play, so...
Okay, I'll have to check that out then. I definitely need to download that and have a look. Yeah. Fair enough. Cool. Well, I mean, I've been playing Need for Speed Most Wanted. I started a completely brand new save game on that, simply so I can review it with a bit more of a clean slate to me, because my other save seemed to pick up some stuff from my PS3 one.
Oh, yeah.
So I had loads of things already working from the PlayStation that I'd unlocked on the PlayStation 3, or because of the number of coins I'd picked of speed points I'd gotten.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? Don't do that. So I'm basically trying to play from a clean slate so I can review it properly for the site.
Yeah.
Apart from that, the only game I've really been dipping into more than occasionally has been Resogun on Vita, simply because I can play it on the Vita when I can't get to the PS4.
Yeah.
And now I have a PS4, I must admit to playing Resogun quite a bit, to be fair.
Have you tried the online mode on Resogun on the Vita?
No, I haven't yet. I will when I'm a bit better at it.
Yeah.
I may try that. And I have been playing a little bit more King Oddball, because that's just crazy and nuts, and you can pull off all sorts of really wonderful things. So that's quite fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried the online mode a few times on Resogun.
Uh-huh.
The times it kind of juddered a little bit, depending on where it was connecting to, but not enough to spoil it too much. The local ad hoc mode is absolutely brilliant, though.
Okay.
I mean, that's the one advantage, I'd say, it's got over the PS3 version. I mean, comparing the two side by side visually, there's not much difference.
No, fine.
But the PS3 obviously seems to have a stronger connection, because obviously I was running that through a wired connection.
Yeah.
It's quite strange running it on the PlayStation TV. Obviously, visually, it looks great on a TV.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to do well connection-wise. It doesn't seem to take advantage of the wired connection too well.
It's weird, actually. The one thing, well, we'll come back to this in a moment, actually, but one thing I've noticed about the PlayStation TV is I think it may be being hampered a little bit by the motherboard being out of the slim, rather than being a bit more, maybe having a different chipset to the one in the original Vita. But we'll come back to that in a moment.
Well, now you mentioned the PlayStation TV. Shall we come on to it? Shall we move on to it right now?
Shall we move on to it? Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have to admit, I've had a bee in my bonnet about the PSTV, well, PlayStation Vita TV, since it was announced in Japan. I did indeed put up more than one little rant on the Vita Player site about it and the fact that we didn't have a release date for the UK, and I was just like, this could be a really important piece of kit, and all you need to add is like a keyboard and storage devices and stuff like that, and it could become quite a nice little development kit for people in their bedrooms. And it's been, and the release, the way it's been released in the West has been abominable.
Well, I mean, I've always, I mean, for me as a console, I think it's a fantastic little piece of hardware. I mean, the Vita, for me, has probably become one of, if not my favourite consoles, full stop. Game-wise, I mean, I play the Vita more than my PS3, more than I ever did on PS1 or PS2. I'd say it's probably second only to the Commodore 64, I think, of all the systems I've ever had.
Fair enough.
Which says a lot, I think, for me.
Says an awful lot, yeah. How did you get on with the PSP? I don't remember.
I love the PSP, but I think the storage, I think, for downloads was quite limited, I think.
Yeah.
And I hated the UMDs.
Fair enough.
They were so fragile. I mean, I had quite a few games, I think, that ended up, the plastic on the UMDs cracked and made the games unusable.
I remember when I was working in retail, the number of times we had to be really careful when we were trading them in and trying to pop the cover plastic on the top back into where it should be because they've been crushed together and that kind of thing. They were a little bit too fragile.
Yeah, I mean, even just taking games out of the boxes just to play them, and you're thinking, okay, you kind of think it was a UMD, okay, I'm going to play this game now. Is it going to break as I take it out of the box? And that's no way to have a game system.
No, quite. I mean, this is the thing. There was two different types of case for the games as well. There was one where you literally, you could press a button and it flipped it out, which was lovely. And there was the other one that broke the disc casing in half if you tried to take it out. It was like, nicely done, Sony. Nicely done.
I mean, the idea behind UMD was great.
But at the time, completely brilliant. But within, 2 years of the machine coming out, it looked woefully underpowered as far as storage space was concerned for the discs. So, yeah.
So, it's strange. But, yeah. No, Sony, you got it wrong.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Use a mini disc at least. They were better protected and would have fitted in the same space, for heaven's sake.
So I think with the Vita at least they made the right decision going for card. At least the capacity's there as well. I mean, that's always the biggest worry for physical storage, I think. But
yeah.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked a bit now.
Yes, we are. Dial it back. So PSTV, one, I don't like the name. The fact that the Vita's been removed from the name is annoying.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest bugbear over it, I think. It needs to still be associated with the Vita and call itself a Vita. Calling it a PlayStation TV, that to me, and to anyone on the street, I think you say PlayStation TV, you think it's some sort of TV box.
Exactly. Everybody I've spoken to ever about it has assumed it to do the same kind of function as the Apple TV, which it clearly doesn't.
Or the Now TV box, or the Kindle Fire TV, any TV box, and it can't. It's got no TV apps whatsoever.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, by the way.
What Sony is playing at there? I mean, even the TV apps that exist for the Vita, which you can count on one finger these days, all of those are either being taken out of circulation by Sony, or they're not compatible with the PSTV.
Which is insane.
There's no logic to it. I mean, Music Unlimited, when that was available, that didn't work on it. taking YouTube out of action now, which was.
Okay. I just hope that means that that's going to get recreated as an app. Now it's moving all over to HTML5 rather than it being flash based. I just hope that means a new app will come, but at least we can play it still through the web browser.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, YouTube, you can just go straight through the website anyway and get access to it, so that's not an issue. But the fact that there's nothing really TV related.
Yeah.
But Sony's. The problem the PlayStation TV has got. I mean, as a console. I mean, okay, it sounds like I'm just being negative about it at the moment. As a machine itself, it's fantastic. I mean, it's great for playing the Vita games.
Yep.
It's great for playing PSP, PS1, minis, PlayStation Mobile. And for me, I don't have a PS4. You know, I've already said that. When I got the PlayStation TV, I didn't give a toss about remote play.
Quite.
I still don't.
Do you know what really annoys me about it? Speaking about remote play, I can't remote play to a PS3. What's that about?
Yeah, that makes no sense. Well, okay. When you look at remote play on the PS3 anyway, there's not really much you can remote play with it.
No, but you can get to your music, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, stream music and so on and so forth from that massive hard drive that's sitting inside my PS3.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
But for me, though, the remote play side of things was never important. All I wanted was to take my Vita collection and everything else and play it on the TV.
Yeah.
And contrary to what so many people are saying, that there's no games that you can run on the TV...
Yeah, we've clearly proven otherwise with the little list we have on the site.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've tested over 800, and there are hundreds that we've tested that work.
Yeah,
and it's not just, let's have a look at all these indie games, let's have a look at all these PS1 games that work. There's big name games that work, yeah. Tales of Hearts work. A lot of the Lego games work. You know, I think one of the Rayman games works. There are absolutely loads.
Absolutely.
And so for me, it does exactly what I want it to, you know, playing some of my favourite Vita games, big screen, PS1 games are enhanced.
And I don't think we've come across one so far that doesn't work, have we?
No.
Looking at the list.
All the PS1 games work. The fact that you've got all four shoulder buttons to use.
Yeah.
You've got the vibration function.
Yeah.
And I've played a few vertically scrolling shoot 'em ups with it, and I think I've tried it with Tekken as well, and Tekken 2. Mm-hmm. You've got multiplayer.
Yeah, quite.
So you've got the multiplayer function back.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't do that on the Vita. So no, it's like the extra win.
Yeah, completely.
So you've got all these added bonuses as well. But then when you pick up the box of the PlayStation TV, and what does it say? It's... Yeah. Use your PlayStation 4. Use your PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4. That's all that's on it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. Is when we did the format for this about a week and a bit ago. It's gone on live this weekend as we speak. There'll be a link somewhere for the dear listeners. Basically, looking at the packaging, it's just like, ooh, but where's the mention it has anything to do with Vita?
Exactly. I mean, it's literally hidden away on the back. It's like, you know, PlayStation TV is a small, sleek, and simple to use micro console that lets you stream your PS4 games to another TV. And then at the bottom, it's like, oh, and play your PlayStation, you know, compatible PS Vita games.
Yeah.
There's not even any mention of PlayStation Mobile.
No. I take it there's no mention of PSP minis and PS1s either, are there?
It mentions PS Vita, PSP and PS1. It doesn't mention minis.
Okay.
It doesn't mention mobile.
And let's face it, mobile is kind of the replacement for minis anyway.
Yeah.
It's a real shame that mobile games don't work on a PS4 and a PS3, but there we go. Yep. We'll leave that alone.
Yeah. But minis, there's 200, over 260, I think, that are compatible.
Yeah.
Mobile... it's about a third of the mobile collection that's compatible, so there's another 100.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, best part of 400 games there that work, and, you know, even the packaging doesn't want to acknowledge them.
Great.
It's madness.
It's mind-bogglingly stupid, isn't it? Let's be brutally honest. The box the thing comes in is just crazy.
Yeah.
And the fact that And if I may, the whole idea that there's no bundles out there involving a controller, a game, and a memory card, insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I can't figure out. I mean, the fact that you have to go and buy another controller no matter what to be able to use it in the first place. But this comes back again to how it's marketed.
Yeah,
as far as Sony are concerned, it's a PS4 add-on.
Yeah, so you'll use your PlayStation 4 controller.
Yeah, what you've already got.
And it's like, no. And this is the thing, I really think they need to perhaps look at doing it as... they might need to get the price down a little bit because it looks like they're eroding their own value anyway.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that in a second. But if they can be putting this out with a game and a bigger memory card and a controller for £100 or so for this Christmas coming and call it a micro console and actually take on the Ouya and the game stick, they're laughing.
Exactly, but they won't.
They won't, no.
I mean, if you go into any store and... I mean, you'd be lucky if you can actually see them on display in stores at the moment.
Right.
When they are, they're shunted into the PS4 section.
Or just hiding in a cabinet.
Yeah. I mean, Game. Okay, I'm singling out one particular retailer. Mm. But Game have usually got them on display, sort of, in a PS4 section, hanging on a rack next to the DualShock 4 controllers.
Yeah.
And it's... they should be on display next to the Vita.
Yeah. I'm just wondering whether that's Sony telling them to do that, though, rather than them doing it off their own back.
You would hope that Sony are actually telling them to promote it as a console, but, I mean, Amazon's listings for it has got it as a PS4 accessory.
Yeah.
Argus's catalogue has it listed then under the PS4 section.
Yeah.
So it does make you wonder, really, what sort of what they're doing with it.
Yeah, it is listed on HMV's system as being a PlayStation 4 console. So, it's just like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't...
That's clearly a Sony-led thing, then. So, yeah. And basically, all the marketing from Sony to do with it, even on the official... ambassador site for retailers is basically pushing it as an accessory for the PlayStation 4 and nothing more, which is a massive shame.
Well, this is the thing, I mean, but Sony seem to be convinced that it's to do everything to convince people that it's not a Vita.
Yeah. Which is crazy when it's got PS Vita written on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it comes bundled with three Vita games.
Yeah.
So why not tell people, embrace the fact that it's a Vita?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's utter madness.
And when you look down the compatibility list, and dear listener, do go to Vita Player's website to check out a full list rather than the not very good list on that Sony have got up themselves, you look through it and you're wondering, well, why isn't that working? Why isn't that working? Why? My perfect example is the game I was really looking forward to playing in on a bigger screen was Wipeout 2048.
Yeah.
And it's not compatible. And I'm trying to figure out why, considering the game allows you to select what control method you want to use. So it's like, well, guys, and I mean, okay, initially when there was no emulation of the front and back touch screen, well, the touch screen and the back touch panel off the Vita, when there was no emulation of that using the DualShock 3 or 4, then I could kind of understand it because of the menu. But now, what the hell? Makes no sense.
The big problem, Sony, you've got this list, this sort of white list that they've got set up to decide what will and won't work.
Yeah.
If a game is on that list, then that's it. You know, they'll let it run. Otherwise, it's a no.
Yeah, and it's not a case of whether it'll work. It might work if you're lucky. It's a case of it's been locked out, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's basically been locked out by Sony. I mean, for example, we know things like Uncharted needs touch controls.
Yeah.
And unless it's patched, it won't be able to run, which is what they did with Killzone.
Yeah.
But then you get games like... one of the Treasures of Montezuma, one of the Treasures of Montezuma games, and Uncharted Fight for Fortune, which are 100% touch dependent to play them.
Yeah,
and they're both on the whitelist and they're allowed.
Hope you got a DualShock 4 then to play those.
You either need the DualShock 4 or with the DualShock 3, you can actually put it into touch mode.
Yeah,
and then basically sort of drag the left analog stick while holding down X.
Yeah. But she's like, yeah, that's easy.
it's stupidity in yourself. But there are games that don't need touch whatsoever during play, and they're not allowed.
Crazy. Absolutely nuts. Silly things. Oh, somebody please explain to me why Sonic Racing Transform doesn't work? Makes no sense. It was a port from the PS3 anyway.
I'm sure that actually worked.
No, it's on the... I've tried it. It will not work.
Because I thought I'd actually tested that and got it to work.
Well, they must have locked it out then since, because I think I've updated the list when I tried it, because it didn't work. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I don't understand it. It's mental.
Yeah, because I remember actually playing that on the PlayStation TV, and that worked.
Oh, right. Well, it doesn't now.
And the same with Jet Set Radio, because that's quite a strange one. Because that has actually worked, and people are having problems with it working now as well. So that's one that bounces backwards and forwards between being compatible or not.
Oh, great. Oh, lovely. But it's whitelisted at least, whereas it looks like Sonic has been blacklisted since. It's been whitelisted to start with and been blacklisted since, which is just like, why?
Final Fantasy is the same. I mean, the Dissidia series are compatible, but you need to go through a workaround through the PlayStation Store menu to actually get them to work. Because they don't work directly. You have to have the PlayStation Store sort of window on your home screen open.
Right.
It's complicated.
That's crazy.
But Final Fantasy 1 through 4 don't work.
Oh, okay.
Which are all the PSP titles.
Yeah, which makes no sense whatsoever.
But obviously none of them need touch controls or anything like that.
Why?
But they're all... But you can go into the PlayStation Store on the PlayStation TV, and they're all there.
Right. It just says you can't run it.
It just says you can't. So you can actually buy them, but you can't run them.
That is crazy. I've got a feeling that that's a licensing issue, isn't it? I would imagine that Enix Squaresoft has literally gone, we don't want these available.
But the thing is, if you can actually play them on the Vita and...
Yeah,
in the EU, there shouldn't be any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. So it's madness.
Doesn't make any sense.
But I don't think people actually know what to do make of the PlayStation TV at the moment. I mean, certainly I know retailers are struggling though.
Yeah,
they're having problems shifting. I know GameStop at the moment are actually giving the PlayStation TV away if people buy the PS4.
Is that GameStop UK?
In the US, I think.
Oh, in the US, right, okay.
They've actually been giving it, I think GameStop and Best Buy, I think it is, they're giving the PlayStation TV away if people buy a PS4 and a PlayStation Plus subscription.
Oh, okay.
And Game have done promotions over here a couple of times now. If you buy a PS4, you can get a PlayStation TV for about £40.
Yeah, and all you're doing there is allying the fact that the damn thing is just...
An add-on.
It's like, guys, really? At least in the States, when they launched it, there was a bundle with a game and a pad.
Yeah.
But...
The only positive thing you can take from that is that it's actually still getting a Vita into people's homes when they're buying it.
Yeah.
So, although it could be seen as being a bad move, that it's the death of the PlayStation TV, or that's one way you could interpret it, it's still getting another Vita into someone's house.
Stealth marketing.
You've got... Yep. I know I've mentioned Tales of Hearts R before, but that's... Yeah. It's a Vita exclusive. It's PlayStation TV compatible. Mm-hmm. And it's a bloody brilliant game.
Yeah.
And if you say to someone, this will run on the PlayStation TV, you can't get it on any other format.
Quite.
And that's the approach that needs to be taken.
Yeah. But are they... No.
Unfortunately. But things like that and the marketing, it's all left to us, I think.
Yeah.
Killzone Mercenary, again, it's a great addition to the Killzone series. It's PlayStation TV compatible.
Yeah.
And that, it is a system seller.
Quite.
And if it's something, if you see it running on the TV, it easily holds its head up high alongside Killzone 3 on the PS3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it does look like a full-blown PS3 first-person shooter.
Quite.
But I think the PlayStation TV, though, I mean, I've got no regrets buying it, and it's it gets just as much use for me now as the Vita does.
Fair enough. I mean, I love mine. I've actually wired mine up to my monitor on my computer workstation.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm using it, which meant I had to get a Bluetooth speaker to get the sound out, because I HDMI'd it into my monitor and I went, I've got no speakers on this monitor. That's a bugger. So for a couple of weeks I was actually using it with a very crap old Bluetooth earpiece, looking like I dropped out of Torchwood or something. Using it that way, but now I've got this little speaker which I picked up on eBay for nothing virtually. And I'm using that, which is just quite fun, and it'll wink everybody intensely.
Mine's actually linked up to the main TV.
Fair enough.
Sitting alongside the PS3, but it's kind of got pride of place there.
Fair enough. I must admit, on the other side of this room, because I'm basically, it's a through lounge dining room area, I've got me in my corner over here, so I've got my monitor on top of an Amiga 1000 next to various other Amigas, and with my main PC, and it's plugged into that monitor. But on the other side of the room, there's the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 2, a CD TV, and a CD32. Because I'm me, and I'm weird.
No, I've got all the rest of my setup is in a sort of an office library games room.
Fair enough.
So I've got all the Amigas and Commodore 64s and PCs and everything in another room. Keep it all in one place.
Fair enough.
And a shelf full of Vita games. But
yay! Physical Vita games, yay!
About 80 of them at the moment.
Bloody hell. Yeah, show that to people. There's no games available. Please.
I do say that, and I've got a photo up on Twitter at the moment of my entire... Yeah. I've got a page set up on my Vita's home screen, because I've had to put all my icons from my retail games into bubbles. And try to alphabeticalise them, and it's taken up an entire screen.
Good God.
And bubbles. But I mean, I'm so glad Sony got rid of the 100 icon limit, otherwise I wouldn't be able to... If they hadn't got rid of the 100 icon limit, I wouldn't be able to buy any downloads.
Yeah.
I'd have to start...
It's just crazy, isn't it?
Because I would have gone past the 100 icon limit years ago.
Yeah. What size memory cards are you running with?
Which ones?
Okay, all of them. I mean, how many memory cards do you have?
You shouldn't have asked me that.
No, I probably shouldn't.
Well, I currently have 2 64 gig cards.
Good God, okay.
132 gig, 2 16 gigs, an 8, and a 4.
Okay.
Actually, no, I've got 2 4 gigs, because I got one for the PlayStation TV as well.
Because I have a vague recollection that you used to use 4 gig ones for your mobile stuff, didn't you? Because if the 100 icon limit back then.
Yeah, for the mobile now, I've got one 16 gig card and an 8 gig card, but the 8 gig card's full, and so it's the 16, because I'm probably going to have to switch over to 2 16 gig cards.
Fair enough. I'm actually on a 32 gig card that's usually inside my handheld Vita.
Yeah.
And my 16 gig card that's usually inside my Vita TV. But obviously I swap them over quite regularly, and I'm always having to swap out stuff on the cards with the PC and use the PC as backup. Because there just isn't enough space for everything I have. And again, people going, there's no games for it. Yeah, there is. There's so many. I'm filling memory cards up here.
Yeah, I'm quite sad in that respect, that I basically keep everything downloaded all the time. I don't swap anything onto the PC.
I don't have that option.
So
I want a 64 gig card at some point. And being as we're talking about that, have you not got a question from Roger Olver?
Yeah, I've had a couple of questions. I think we've probably done and dusted on the PlayStation TV for now.
Yeah, we both love the PSTV.
Yeah.
I loved it before it came out. It was just a case of, I'm frustrated with the way it's been handled. I'm frustrated with Sony. I'm frustrated I can't play Wipeout on it.
Yeah, we've had a couple of questions from sort of, listeners and readers.
Yeah.
First one, we've had one from Roger Olver, who basically asked what's the best options regarding memory cards for the Vita.
The biggest one you can afford.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I'll go and get a 64 gig one from Amazon or whoever if you can.
Yeah.
But that's still not been officially released in the UK, which is mind-blowingly stupid. Sony, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I tried writing a guide about memory cards for the website.
Yeah. It consists of what, three lines? Buy the biggest one you can. End of story.
It's quite a complicated one, to be honest.
Really?
Because it depends on what you're going to use your memory cards for.
Yeah.
Because the biggest memory card's not always going to be the right answer.
Okay.
That's got you wondering, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to have? One for, like, your games and one for your videos or something?
Well, the thing is, I've got, obviously, as I just said, lots of memory cards.
Yeah, but you're filling them up. That's why you move on to another one when you've filled one.
Well, the thing is, I've got a 4GB card that I've dedicated to minis.
Okay.
There's about 80 games on there.
And yeah, when they come in kilobytes, it's not surprising.
This is the thing. When you got, I've got 80 games on there, and I've still got about 2GB free.
God, I think Tiny Hawk's the smallest game, isn't it? Something? I can't remember. Probably had to fit it into an Amiga.
This is the thing. You've got the ports of Pinball Dreams and Pinball Fantasies.
Yeah.
And they come in at about 3 or 4 meg each.
Yeah.
They're the same size as the Amiga originals.
Yeah, which is fair enough. I can live with that.
So you've got... And the same with PlayStation Mobile. If you're a fan of PlayStation Mobile,
yeah,
you could fit hundreds of games onto a single memory card.
Yeah, quite. And it does get a little bit cumbersome to deal with them.
So if you start if you put that many games onto a 64 gig card,
yeah,
you'll run out of icons before you run out of memory card space.
Yeah, because this is the thing: is the 100 icon limit might have gone, but it kind of hasn't.
The limit now is 500.
Yeah.
But the actual screens themselves, you're allowed to have 10 screens on the home screen.
Yeah.
But you can have bubbles, but each bubble... you can have folders, but each folder can only have 10 icons in it.
Yeah. And you've already got the stuff that's already on there you can't remove.
Yeah, you've got the pre-installed system icons.
Yeah.
Plus, every time you buy a physical game, that sticks an icon on every screen as well.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, I've got about 80 retail games. That's 80 icons gone on every memory card.
Yeah, helpful.
So, at the moment, I've now lost 100 icons from every memory card.
It does make you wonder, doesn't it? It really does.
So, if I decide to use a 64 gig memory card for my PlayStation Mobile games,
yeah,
I couldn't put them all onto one memory card.
Right. So, I would go with it as a rule of thumb. If you're likely to only want to have one memory card, get the biggest one you can manage.
Biggest one you can manage, but it depends on the type of games you're going to buying.
If you start being a fan of, like, your PlayStation Mobile or your Minis, you might want to go and grab a cheap 4GB card.
Go for some cheap cards theme your cards if it's easier to find what you want to keep.
Yeah.
But always remember, content manager's there as well, so you can swap things in and out.
Yeah. I hope that helped, Roger.
And if not, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Roger. Roger, I hope that all helps you immensely.
Another one. The only other question for this time. From Stephen Allen, who's the developer that wrote Oceancraft Multiplayer, Disillusion, Manga Horror, and Raptor RPG for PlayStation Mobile.
Right, okay. And Hillcliff Horse, I believe.
Yes, and Hillcliff Horse. And still haven't told him about the little bug I found in that one where I had the horse kind of walk through the mountains.
Okay, are you sure you're not getting it confused with Oblivion? No?
But
my horse is lying with the sound of falling downhill. No, go on.
I was hoping you would get it something like that in this show. Anyway, Stephen's asked, what do we prefer when we're playing games, whether it's using the PlayStation TV, sitting down in front of the big screen, or sitting down anywhere in the house with the playing games using the Vita, obviously in the palm of our hands, which do we prefer and why?
Okay. Well, I would have to say that I'd prefer to use PlayStation TV in the big screen if it's an option. Obviously, some games I can't do that with, which is irritating. And sometimes I can't do it because of other environmental issues, like I can't get to the computer the computer area, or it's already in use by someone else or something like that, at which point I go and grab my handheld. And obviously the handheld is always going to be the one I'm using on the bus or wherever else I am. So yes, it's a case of if I can use the big screen, I will do. simply because it gives you a better environment for playing, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah. I think for me, it's down to the type of game and where I am, definitely where I am as well. The Vita, for me, tends to get used if I'm out travelling on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, where we live, I can end up having to, even just doing basic shopping runs, it can be anything up to a 90-minute bus journey for me.
Yeah.
So the Vita's is a lifesaver for that.
Right.
But I tend to use the Vita a lot at night as well. So that's when the Vita tends to get used more. So either a late at night thing for a bit of quiet gaming that I'm not going to disturb anybody else.
Or headphones on, playing it that way kind of thing.
Or the best sort, lights out, headphones on, just the only light coming off the Vita, and playing TXK.
Okay, that's a very good way of screwing your eyesight.
But it's an it's a hell of an experience, though.
I can imagine, yeah.
But saying that, playing TXK on the big screen is like, wow.
Yeah.
But then you've got the comfort factor, and playing the games with the DualShock 4 on the TV.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're not getting any younger, and when we get to our age...
Oh, here we go. You're older than me, never forget that.
Yeah, but you look it.
Thanks for that.
But when we get to our age, DualShock 4 is more comfortable than holding a small console, no matter how comfortable the Vita might be.
Yeah. Though I have the smallest hands in the world. For a guy who's 6 foot tall, I have the smallest guy hands in the world. And it does suit the Vita quite nicely, because let's face it, it was designed for Japanese hands. Let's be fair. The fact that the extra stick is all down to the British developers is irrelevant. That's
But I do find that using the DualShock 4 is more comfortable.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
But I find that there's a lot of games that tend to use the touchscreen. The touchscreen is gimmicky for me at the best of times. So if I can play games that don't need the touchscreen, then I'm a lot happier doing that anyway.
Fair enough.
So Killzone Mercenary, as soon as they got rid of the touchscreen with the patch for the PlayStation TV, it was like, yes, thank God for that.
Right, really.
This
is the thing: is when the Vita was first unveiled as having touch, I was just like, I don't want to play a DS game. Thanks. Was the first thing that came to my head. But then with the back touch panel, and silly as it sounds, when I first saw Little Deviants, it was just like, oh, now that makes a lot of sense. And when you play Tearaway, it's like, ooh, that makes perfect sense.
Tearaway, it works brilliantly, but I think for a lot of games, touch controls have been used for the sake of it.
Yeah, completely. Absolutely, completely.
And when there's options for games that could be use physical controls instead of touch, and they haven't,
quite,
I think it does spoil the gaming experience a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. Absolutely.
But, okay, maybe that's just me.
No, I can see it's certainly a case of, touch controls in the right circumstance make sense, but when they're forced on you on something that you'd much rather be using buttons and the joysticks on, then no, it seems silly.
I mean, that's something I'm actually struggling with Helldivers at the moment, the fact that it needs touch controls for certain parts of the game.
Really?
Okay. Have you played Helldivers yet?
I had a quick go at EGX Res last year.
Yeah.
On the PS3, I think it was on.
I mean, throwing grenades, reloading, it's all touch.
Why?
And to even sprint, you've got to use touch controls.
Guys, patch that now. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
And it makes it so cumbersome.
You can't control it the same way as you can on the PS3 and the PS4. With the touch screen, it should be an option. It should be an option on a game that's cross-format like that.
Now we'll suddenly find people sort of emailing us in and saying that they love the controls, don't find anything wrong with it. But,
the thing is that there should be an option. It should be an option, simple as that.
Yeah, but to throw grenades by touch and to sort of reload weapons by touch, no, don't like it.
Fair enough. I can understand.
Anyway, I think we've rambled on for long enough.
Yes, I've driven you all mental with my voice so far.
So I think we'll leave it there for this show. We hope you've all enjoyed it.
Don't forget, if you've got any comments or questions, you can email us at contact@vitaplayer.co.uk. VitaPlayer, one word, of course.
Yeah. And we hopefully that you've enjoyed it enough first to want us to come back and do another one. And we'd like to try and bring you a developer interview next time. We won't see anything more yet, but we'll try and keep you posted through the website and let you know who will be making a little guest appearance in the next show.
So do keep your eyes on the Vita Player website. And also, I'd like to thank Edward Blakely for... Is it Blakely? Blakely.
Yeah, yeah, Blakely.
For 8-Bit Rotronic, the music you've heard, which was supplied by shockwavesound.com. Thank you for listening, everybody, and I'm sure you'll hear from us again soon. So thank you and good night.